Okay, we're holding today Erev Shabbos on Daf Ayin. Ayin Tov and Chulin. So, we were trying yesterday, we were in the middle of the Machlokes between Rabba and Ravuna as to what the din is Legabe Eivorim of a Bechor that we're Yotzei. Whether we consider the Leidas HaBechor to be retroactive, so that once Rove is Yotzei, and we say that everything that was Yotzei up until that point is a Bechor, or whether we say that it's only Mikan HaLa'abar from this point forward, as Rava says, that it becomes Kadosh B'Kadosh B'Bechor. And there were two cases that we had where these approaches would make a not Kamina. One was that the first Machlok we had was if the Bechor was sold to a Goy before Yetziat Rubo. So that way, according to Rabba, who holds that it only becomes Kodesh at the point of Yetziat Rubo, the sale was kosher. In which case, the Bechor will never become Kodesh. Whereas according to Rav Huna, since it's Chalam Afreya, the sale is Batul, because you cannot sell a Bechor to a Kodesh. Once it comes out, it's not clear if it was Kodesh before. That was one difference. The other Nafkamina would be, which they invert the Kula and the Chumra, and that's why we wanted both of them, both of these Machlokasim. And that was in a case where partially the embryo was delivered by C-section, and then the rest of it was delivered normally. So there the question is whether we need to look at the entire process, the way Ravuna looks at it, in which case at the time of Yetzias HaRov, you didn't have Yetzias HaRov Derech Rechem. But according to Rava, it's unimportant. You have Yetzias HaRov when the last two-thirds comes out, at which point it's Kodesh. And here, Rava turns out being Rechum, Ravuna turns out being Rechum, and therefore we want both Machlokas. And we said, really, that the only point of bringing this up here was because of the implications for understanding our mission. Our mission is clearly talking about something that seems to touch on this, because it's talking about a behemoth that's giving birth to a Bechor, and you're cutting off the pieces as they're coming out, and it says over here that you can feed it to the dog. You can feed it to the dogs. And obviously, according to Ravuna, how could you feed it to the dogs if it was because of Shlomo Freya? So this is why we want to bring our mission in today, and therefore on the second line, without line on Aleph, we say, Tznan. Ha-mivakeret ha-mikashele lein, mechatech ever ever, u-mashlich l'klavim. Now here we have in our mission, it says the Ferik, you can cut off the Evorim as they come out, and you can use those Evorim as dog food. Now, I mean, mashmaut is that my love mechatech u-miniach. So you cut out each Ever as it comes, you put it in the dog food freezer, and then as the dog needs food, you feed it to the dog one by one over the next couple of weeks. So, if you're going to tell me that the Bechor is Kodesh v'mafreya, the way Ravuna holds it, it's retroactive, at the point that you already have laid as robe, everything that came out is Kodesh. So then why don't you have to bury all of these Evarim as a Bechor? So then you kaver me by it. I'd say you feed it to the dog. You have to bury it. So the Gemara, well, we'll have to learn that the Mishnah is talking about Afu Mayaskina and the Mechatepu Mashlich. You feed it to the dogs as it comes out, that's what it's talking about. So at the time that you feed it to the dog, it hadn't yet been called Kodesh, even the Mafreya. Memela, at that point, you can feed it to the dogs. But in Okinami, if you put it into the freezer, you would have had to bury it.
You'd have a majority.
Before the majority. Yeah. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Then the mission, rest of the mission doesn't make sense. Because if you're telling me, now what? What would be the din if you put it in a freezer? So you're claiming you come there. At that point, you would have to bury it. You couldn't feed it to the dogs. So if that's the case, instead of saying in the next case of the Mishnah, instead of saying the same for the Mishnah, Aratani Sefer Yatsa Rubo Yikaver, that if most of it had come out at one time, so now you have to bury it, and the next one now is not going to be a Bechor. That was the animal is Niftra Mena Bechor. For heaven's sakes, I can tell you a much bigger finish. Live like Litzni B'Didon. Let me tell you the case in exactly the same circumstances, where it was cut up as it came out. And I should say in the Sefer, Bamedvar Mamurim, where do we say this halacha that you can feed it to the dog? That's only if you fed it as it came out before Leidas Rubo, the Mechate from Ashokever Eva. But if you had been Mechate, that's exactly the case in the Ration, but you put it in your freezer, then you kaver. What do you tell me if it came out at one time, Rubo? He's like a much bigger kiddush. I'll leave it at Ravuna with Schala Mafreya, in which case, even though it came out piece by piece, once it came out to the point of robe, all of the previous pieces of credit, you're telling me that's not a bigger finish? So what do you tell me now in the Mishnah case where Yatzah Ruba Master came out entirely, Ruba at one time? That seems to prove that Ravuna doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, no, Ravuna was says the Pshat in the Mishnah is like this. That Achimami Ka'omar, that is what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying, essentially, that this is only if you fed it to the dogs as it goes. If you're putting it into the freezer, then it's the equivalent of Yotzer Rubo. In other words, when I say Yotzer Rubo, I don't mean Yotzer Rubo necessarily the whole animal comes out of Atachat, its robe. I mean, once robe of these Eibarim come out, if they're still in the freezer, then you come there. Because that is Yotzer Rubo, essentially. Boy, Rav. Rav has an interesting question, which is, Halchu be'ivarim achar harov, or lo halchu be'ivarim achar harov? When it comes to a particular aver, does it follow the rove of the aver? Does it follow the rove of the animal? Now, what's the case? If he's done, even if you go and shiyotza rove, the mute aver. If you're going to say that, well, the question is like this. Rove of the animal came out, but that's only because we're including the volume of a quarter of its back leg. But most of its back leg was still back in the womb. And your question is, becoming violent, hi miut devaroi, that the quarter of the back leg that came out, is that basa rov the eber shadina le or basa rubo de uber shadina le? Question being, well, perhaps we should say that the quarter of the leg that came out is not considered to be out, because most of the leg is in. So it should be considered still to be in the womb because the leg is in. Well, the other way to look at it is that, well, it can be looked at as being part of rove of the behemoth. The rove of the behemoth is chashuv, so therefore it is out. That can't be the question. I'm pshita lo shavkinim ruba d'uber v'azinim basa rove eiver. I mean, how would I think that the rove of an eiver is more chashuv than the rove of the uber? If I look at it in terms of the ubar as a whole, so then it's considered to be out. But if I decide, well, let's ignore the ubar as a whole and look only at the aver, then we can say the whole thing didn't come out. It makes much more sense to look first at the holistic question. You know, and at that point, you can't say that it's going to be rove inside. It's already rove outside. So that's not the case. Okay, so what is the case? The case would be to go shiyatza chetzio berov aver. The case would be where you have only half of the uber that was yotzei. And that half includes most of the back leg. Now the shayla is, the part that's left, can we look at it, can we consider it also to be out? Since most of the hind leg is out, let's say, okay, let's consider the entire hind leg to be out. If we consider the entire hind leg to be out, we now have a robe of the ubar. That was Yosei. We have a full birth? That's the question. Tashma, and to that we can bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Yatsa Rubo, Hareze Yikaver. Now, when it says Yatsa Rubo, I ask you, what does it mean when it says Rubo? My Rubo. No. Elay Marov Rubo Mamash. It's coming to tell me that what? Once robe of the animal comes out, then it's considered to be a bechor. What are you crazy? I need all of a sudden a mission here in the middle of Kulin to tell me it's in a bechor that ruba kakula. All over the Torah, ruba's kakula, and it's never partial. Wherever we talked about later, it was always yatsa rosha, ruba. I mean, I don't need a mission to tell me that. That's crazy. Must be, therefore, that this group is a chiddush in the mission. Elamah. The case would be that it was Yatsa Rubo. No, open for Richie. Well, almost taught you a lesson there. Ah. But I have come prepared. A gun is nothing. We dice and all.
I should put Richie on notice, all right. All right, don't laugh. I have my daughter stick her finger into one of those things one face up. Cut off the top of her finger. Horrible. Horrible. Yeah. Okay, so the Shiloh over here must be there for it. But the Mishnah Gufa comes to teach me this sentence. That if it's Yatsa Rubo, even in a case where the robe was only robe because it was exactly Etzio, but that Etzio included the robe of an Eber, and the robe of an Eber is Yolod, and therefore that's good for the finish in the Mishnah, to tell me that we go Bosser the robe of the Eber to create a robe of an Uber. That would be the finish. Uh-huh. So that would be very nice. So must be Elolav, because Shiatza Etzio robe Eber, and that's the finish. Well, not necessarily. Maybe it's Kigon Shiatza Rubo B'miyudeva. Maybe it's talking about the other case, that the robe came out, including a miyud of an aver, the kamashmont of Lo Shakina Ruba the Uber de Behema Vazino Bosar Aver. So therefore, you can't bring a raya from here, even though we said that was obvious before.
Yeah.
But a Mishnah, when it's speaking agav, other issues, we'll often do that. We'll tell you something that you could figure out, as long as it's not a finish that was said all over the place. That's a klal. We're not mocked at a Mishnah telling me something that I would have been able to ask as a question and figure out an answer. The question, however, here is that we just got finished answering this Mishnah Libet Rav Huna, that in fact it is telling me a big finish. The finish being that even though I cut up Aver as it came out, that nonetheless, once it's Yatza Rubo, even those cut up Evarim in the freezer now require Kvuras, and I can't feed them to my dog. So why isn't that the finish of the Mishnah? Here we seem, therefore, says the Rosh, to be rejecting Rav Huna. The Gemara Bepashtis is saying, you're certainly not going to accept that crazy shot in the Mishnah that's talking about the Sefer was going back to the Reisha, was talking about Mesateh, and here instead of feeding it to the dogs, you put it into the freezer. The Mishnah means it was Yatzer Rubo. I mean, come on, let's be honest. So that means that we're being Deiper, Rabunas Pshat, and because of that, he paskins like Rabbah. That a Bechor is only Kadosh from this point forward, when it becomes Kadosh B'Kadushas Rubo, was Yatzer Narech. However, interestingly enough, the Rambam paskins like Rabunah, not like Rabbah. So, what Rashi seems to suggest here, he says it a little bit unclearly. What Rashi seems to suggest is a very fascinating thing, which they speak about, must be the way the Rambam's learning this again, is that even when we explain a Mishnah so that it should work out, Aliba de Rahuna, so we're saying that the meaning of the words in the Mishnah is Nasekit. It doesn't mean Yatzaruba. It means it, even though it came out piece by piece, but not the Kiwi Yatzaruba. But the words in the Mishnah still have to mean what they say. Just like we say, Ein Mikra Yatzaruba Chuta. The Mishnah also is not Yatzaruba Chuta. It's trying to tell you something about a case of Rubo. Otherwise, why say it in this funny way? Why not just say that even though it's Bechate, but Kivan Yatzaruba, instead it says Yatzaruba. Why? Because it's trying to get you to focus on this other issue. That it was Yatza Rubo Ben Yudeva. Or Beberov, whatever the case would be, you see. So Mamela is no stira to the explanation that we gave Aliba the Ravuna. So that's a very important yesod if this is the case.
So even though it works in the brush level, it has to work in the shot level.
Yeah. Right, because otherwise this would be an odd way to tell me something. Why say Nasa Kami? In other words, the Tana must be speaking on two levels. So that the way that it's stated in itself, Choshev, I think that's a very, very important yesod. That we have this all the time, Nasa Kami. It means we have to think about it, but why say it this way? Boy, Rava asks like this. Once we're on the subject over here, of the Kedushat Rechem on the Bechor, Korcho besiv mar. How about if you wrapped the vlad in a plastic bag and then it came out? Or betalito mar, or the ro'eh takes his vest, wraps it around the uber. We'll see. The pashas we're not talking about inside, and that's why that's true as a machlokes Rashi Tosfos. We'll talk about it in a moment. The shiliyato mal. And how about if it's wrapped in its placenta? In its placenta. Okay, well, I understand that's a standard birth. I mean, how could you possibly think a placenta would be a chatzitza between the rechem and the vlad? That sounds crazy. No, sorry. Maybe there was a twin. The placenta of the twin got wrapped around the bechor. What would be the difference?
Okay, so what is this?
Normal.
What's our question here?
Well, the question is, when it says peter rechem, does it mean literally peter rechem? Mm-hmm. I mean, in other words, it has to touch the edge of the wound. And if it doesn't, there's something in between, then it's not considered to be a petarechem. How about karachatova chazatovo tziatoma? And how about, now here it's strange, because it turns into female. Until now it was karcho, besieve, right? So the normal case is the shepherd. The shepherd is the guy who's taking care of the lady. All of a sudden, what, there's a midwife? Karachatova chazatova? I mean, what is that talking about? Indeed, Rashi seems to say, okay, it's a woman who was karachatom, and why in the world would it do that? Therefore, Tosfos says, the point over here is that this is a continuation of a sugya in which there was a twin. And the question is, suppose the twin's legs were wrapped around the bechor, the twin being a female. And now the shaila is whether that, I mean, we could have had the same case if it was that neither of them was, would have been there by the time the first one was out of that, then that's a reference or not. So now, if it's wrapped around by karakato, by its twin, or by kadato, which would mean it was around the top part, in that case, and then lotziato, and then, now, it was removed. Ma.
So
is it
something animals or humans?
Animals. So now, has he done it? Eaten off like Derek Reche. Now, well, I don't get it. What's the case? I mean, if the vlad came out head first, standard delivery, at the moment that the head came out, it was already patarte, it already was a petarecha. We said, Yatza Rosho. Rosho alone is petarecha. Now, this bothers Tosfos. Because I understand all the time we talk about doing things in utero. Why can't karach, I mean, we were talking about before cutting behavior, the uber in utero and so on. Why all of a sudden are we assuming that there was a partial leda, and then he came along to wrap a plastic bag around the rest? I mean, what could it say? Because it's unusual. I mean, we have these cases all the time. This is another indication to Tosfos that what we're talking about is a delivery of twins in which the legs of a twin were wrapped around the other fetus, but certainly not, I mean, it's a crazy case when you have to, you know, it's wrapped around and as it comes out. In other words, it must be that the delivery began, and you often have a mixture of limbs. There's a way that happens all the time, especially with animals. When you read some of the descriptions, and the standard was, you read the Harriet's description, the standard was if you had like three or four lambs that were coming out at one time. It was a mess. I mean, he said that was his gainus. He had a woman's hand, he said. Everybody else was like a mess of it. And he was able to separate each thing carefully and so on. They loved calling him out because they used to call him your lady's hands. Because sheep are very, very sensitive to fumbling around with big hand. And so, okay, that's a standard thing. So then already it started to be born. And the rest of it was mixed up with the legs of other animals that are inside. But if that's the case, so then once the head came out, why isn't it already a bechor? To which Gemara answers, okay, it was a breech delivery. Saying, okay, no, it was not a derek margalotav. So now the legs started coming out. By the time the head came out, it was wrapped, the head was wrapped around with the thighs of the next animal down the line. And there we have the shayla, is that called a bechor, or does its head have to be in contact with the rechev? And then we could see the same shayla would be if you have a plastic bag around it. What if you have a plastic bag around the uter? Is that considered to be a leidah or not? Or is a plastic bag is a chatzitza? How about if now we're going to have some weird cases which seem at the time of the Gemara to be outrageous, and indeed some of the Achronim speak out, but of course none of these cases make any sense, but we're just trying to establish the principle. So let's say an animal swallows the fetus while it's in uterus. So balato chudovo siato, mar. What do you mean, mar?
Huh?
Yeah. And then takes it out. Yeah. Right. The animal's about to be delivered. Well, you see the head of the animal about to come out. And so then a chulda passing by. And says, yeah, that looks good.
Midwife swallows the baby.
No. This is an animal. The midwife animal swallows the baby, yeah. You have to watch out for some of these midwives. So what do you mean? If it took it out, so I peaked it. So it took it out. No. So the point over here is it swallowed the animal, decided it didn't like what it tastes like, and put it back in. And then it came out naturally. We had to be kiato, it vomited it out into the rechem, and then it was yotzimeilov. It came out by itself. Is that considered to be a bechor? How about yidbik shnei rechamim? How about you stuck the rechem of one animal up against the rechem of the other animal, and you had the birth of one animal push into the rechem from the outside of the next animal? So now, what's the din? Its own rechem, if indeed it was peter rechem. But the other one, I mean, it can't be poter another animal's rechem, can it? The labdi de lo patar, or dima de labdi de nami patar. Maybe it patered the other rechem too? Take it. Again, I mean, they ask one and go, why not? Come on, these are like insane cases. Rav Nevensol pointed out that these are cases that happen every day nowadays because they use embryos of other animals, insert them. Right? So it's hashtalat b'tios. This happens all the time. So here you have a Gemara in which, like, what kind of crazy question is this? And now it's the standard modes of reproduction, you know? Wow. So you take what came out of one animal, and you're mashtil it as a vlad in another animal. Can another animal's uber be considered the peter rechem of this animal? Great. Yeah, and it turns out.
And then we actually see, and people in the shiur come on. And then things happen.
The Gemara has a case like that. In the Gemara, where they wanted to throw him out of the Beit HaMikdash. What kind of stupid case? The guy was asking if a child was born with two heads, which one you put tefillin on. Like, get out of here already. Enough is enough. And then they had a shiloh of this mutation of a Siamese twin, which basically was one body but two heads. I came in wanting to know what the thing is, Lagavi Brechor and so on. Take us. All of these cases stand. Oh, by the way, these cases are literally everyday cases, or were everyday cases, that tremendous shaylas on local amisa when they used to use forceps. Because the forceps delivered is almost all of us, people who got, enraged by forceps. Used to be a standard delivery, was a forceps. You. That explains it all. Right? So now the forceps is wrapping the child in a plastic bag, and it never touches the edge of the vagina as it comes out. So I bet there's no peter rechem. This was a major question of the Achronim. Rav Moshe Zatzal made a very interesting point that nowhere in the Gemara do we find any of these questions relating to a human. They're all relating to animal. Now, why is that? So he wanted to be a Mechadish that by humans, the Din of Petarechem is certainly not a literal Petarechem. Because it doesn't have actual Kedusha. It's not, in other words, we talk about Petarechem Mikacho. You know, it's the point that the something about the nature of the animal actually changes it. But this was his Kiddush. By the human, it's a question of view. Are you called the Bechor, the Gabi, the Pidgin, 30 days later, and so on and so forth. So he wanted to say it's Bechlal, not Nogea. However, I mean, Allah Kala Maisim, many people were back then, not to say to a pigeon, but without a brocha, and so on and so forth. It's a bit suffic, I mean, you could say, very interesting. You were a Bechor?
How else can you explain that?
You're both a lady and a coin together.
How else can you explain that only just like him or why not?
No.
I doubt. So I don't know if it's going to be.
If it's true, you mean, if it's not just that.
You never mentioned this to me.
Nifs, I think nowadays they use vacuum. I think it's only on the top, only on the top of the cap, you know, the cap of the sack. Boy Rabacha, niftachu kotlei beit harechem ma. Avirechem magdish va'ika odil menegiat rechem mekachem haleka. Suppose you had a very expanded birth canal, and there wasn't actual physical contact, although there was no chatzitza. But the head was able to come out without pushing anything open. There was a space around it. And now the question is it the airspace or is it literally petarechem? It has to be the press of the head against the birth canal that pushes it over. That's the shayla. Boy, Mar Baravash is a different question. Suppose nechu kotlei betarechem mal. How about if you had a disaster and actually the rechem itself turned out to be pulled off. Now, this is what we thought. So there was no real birth in the normal sense. In other words, the child came out while the rechem was no longer in the close absence of a fallen womb and so on. So nekru. So then, what do you mean nekru? Then lesnu. I mean, then you're telling me it's not there. I don't know how you got that kid out, but I mean, what's the Richie? It's like Hook and the crocodile. So Mahu. So Nekru, the Nekru Lesnu, then it's not there. I mean, what are we talking about? No, I mean Nekru the Tolole Bitsavore. My, I don't mean that they're disattached. I mean the womb is no longer attached properly. It's still there, that the cervix is still attached to the birth canal, but it's not a normal situation at all. So here, the animal that's coming out, the fetus that's coming out, causes actual damage, and it comes out with pieces of the cervix itself attached to it. Then what? So do we say b'mekom mekachin shlovim tamal lo mekachin? Or the Mishalabim Kaman Namikasha. Is it that tissue that's important? Or is it that it's a normal birth going through that tissue? But may Rabirma Rabzera? Rabirmi has Rabzera. How about if Nigmamu Kotli Betarechamau? How about if the tissue of it was on the outside of the Betarechem was torn out? And now the fetus is delivered, but it's delivered through raw unhealed tissue, is that considered to be the Beit HaRechem? Or Marlei Kinagata Bebaya Dibay Lon. Ah, now you're touching on a question that we actually had raised, and you can tell from it what the answer is. Because Rabbi Zera, some say Rabbi Zera, asked Rabbi Asi, and how about Omed Meruba La Porutz V'yatzadera Porutz? Or Porutz Meruba La Omed V'yatzadera Omed? My. The question is, in a case where you had a partial disaster like this, where the tissue on the outside of the birth canal was torn off partially. Most of it was there, and the blood was coming out through the area that was ripped out. Obviously, it had been a rather traumatic birth. Or it's supposed to have the other way around. We have mostly it's porous, but there's enough omade there that was left, and the vlad was yotzi, the area that was there to be omade. What's the din? Now notice that atkan loy boile, Rabbi Zera only asked the shaila if it was porous and rubala omade. At least there's ika omade boile. There is the birth canal. But your case where it was niglamu, you wouldn't have a din of a birth canal at all, because he's saying that if it's porous, it means that this is not considered to be a normal birth, and lokami boilet, he would never have asked that question. And therefore, the answer to your question is not Kodesh in that case, where it was Nigmumu all around. Fascinating question over here is if the fetus dies, now, it ought to be in a veil. Can it be metamic? The first thing that you think of is the din of tum'ah bu'ah. Any tum'ah that is internal is not metame. No, it's not metame. So, in other words, you can't, even if you touch it somehow, it won't be metame. But the point is that later on, Rabbi Akiva talks about tum'ah bu'ah here in the uterus and says it is metame. So, according to him, we have a chiddush in our Mishnah, in where the uber died in utero. V'hoshita ro'ed yado. Now, the shepherd puts his hand in to remove that fetus, finds it to be dead, which occurs very often. V'nagavo, and he touches it. At that point, is he tamei or not? Bein bivei matenea. Whether the fetus was in a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, it's rather strange, what difference would that make? We have to think about that. It would be tar. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, actually, it does make a difference. If it's in a non, here's the first time in which we have come across the difference between the animal being kosher or not kosher, and we use the word tamei and tahar for kosher and not kosher, right? That should be actually nogea, the tumah per se, in which the vlad is matame or not matame. Why would that be? So b'tumea tamei or b'tora tahor, in a non-kosher species, in a tamei species, it is tamei as a nevela, and in a tar species, it's tar from the nevela. Now we immediately see the connection to our parrot. Because the truth is, that what's the din about eating this dead uber? If I shech the mother, it's mutter. We said kol babei maisa. I would cut off pieces from the uber, leave it in the uterus, shech the mother. We said before in the Mishnah that it's okay to eat it. It's only if I cut off a piece of the mother and leave it in the mother, like it's a spleen or something, that then I can't eat it. But an uber, I learned out from the kol beima, that I can eat. So we see already why it's no gaya. Because if I can eat it, so how could it be in a veil? But now I can see the difference between a bema tar and a bema tamea. Because obviously I can't eat the bema tamea, as the Torah never told me the fiddish. Now whatever is in the bema tar is considered to be part of the living animal and is therefore edible. So maybe by a non-kosher animal, the situation is different. If I don't have this halacha of the mother providing any type of chiyus for the child. Well, we'll go through the Gemara now. My time at the Tanakhama. Why does the Tanakhama say that it's not considered to be mitameh, even though it's dead, this fetus? On Reb Chista, well, it's a kal v'chomer. Imho ila imo l'hatirova achila. For heaven's sakes, if the mother's life, and now we check the mother, and that's matir the vlad b'achila. So lo toilo l'taremi deneveila. You're telling me that the mother's life is not going to also call it a non nevela? I mean, obviously it's not going to be matame. So therefore, the whole thing. I mean, it's obvious that it's not going to be matame.
Interesting.
But that's only Behemot Torah now. Ashkel Behemot Torah. How are you going to say that kind of no kav v'chomer by Behemot Tameah? Because I cannot eat the fetus of a Behemot Tameah. So how do I know that a Behemot Tameah, inside of its mother, where the fetus died, and now you're trying to deliver that fetus to save the mother, and you touch it, how do you know it won't be Matame, the doctor who touches it before it comes out? Omar Kra, well, for that, take a look at the Parsha of Nevelot. It says, V'chiyamut mina beima asher yilachem la'okla. Now, you have to darshan both pieces separately. V'chiyamut mina beima. This means a beima that's not lachem la'okla yet. In other words, this refers to a beima tmea. Asher yilachem la'okla, this refers to beima tahara. In which case, eat kish beima tmea la beima Torah. The Torah is now saying that vis-a-vis the dinim of Nevelot, whether it's a Behemot Tameah or a Behemot Tahara, it has exactly the same halacha. Ma Behemot Tahara ubrat Tahor, just like we've already proven to you that a Behemot Tahara from this Kal Vachomer, clearly the fetus that's dead is Tahar. A Behemot Tameah ubrat Tahor. So too, the Torah is saying the principle is the same, even though the Kal Vachomer doesn't apply. So that the Behemot Tameah provides mechitzos for the uber inside of it, although those mechitzos obviously don't define a heterachila because the mother's own mechitza is not a heterachila, but it does define the nature of the life of the fetus, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, the fetus is still on its family. It's still within its mechitzos.
If a dead horse fetus. Comes out,
no, once it's out, there's no question. The fetus is matana. The shaila is whether the live mother prevents tumor from coming from the fetus. That's the shaila.
Well, it's inside the mother is still alive. And the horse is still alive. The fetus is
out. Comes along now the vet, and he's a Jewish vet. He wants to remove the fetus. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, my time. So why does Rabbi Yossi Aglili argue and he distinguishes between a Behema Tamei and a Behema Tahira? Lechora, the Torah indeed has compared the two. Rabbi Yitzchak, the Omar Kra, take a look at this strange pasuk. V'chol holech al kapav. Anything that walks on a pad, in other words, on a single hoof or on a claw, B'kol ha'chaya ha'holechet al arba. Inside any animal that walks on 4 feet. Now, it's very interesting, but 4 feet does not mean 4 legs. 4 feet means 4 feet. Meaning that the foot is not split into two. If the foot is split into two, the animal is considered to have 8 feet. So what this is saying is, anything that is holech al kapav, b'kol ha'chaya, inside any other animal that walks on 4 feet, which means by definition it's tamei. It's a tamei species. That means that mahalke kapayim b'chaya tamei lecha. Any mahalek kapayim inside of a chaya, which is dead, is tamei. So from here you see that the fetus of a tamei animal is tummy. Fascinating. Wait a minute. The problem is that if that's the case, a kalut bime'e para, the case that we've had many times before of a mutation in which the leg of the fetus did not properly articulate and it was left with a club foot, and then it says that that animal, perhaps, that was the machlokes that we had, the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, is such a thing considered to be a mafrisei parsa. According to this, if you have a club-footed animal in a kosher animal's womb, it should be tummy, because it's a hoiler called kappa. Because it's mahal kekapayim b'kayo. It says, b'kol holek al arba, a pora is a lechet al shumone. So therefore, it doesn't include the case of a club foot inside of a pora. So therefore, hai mahalke arba, mahalke shumone. See? Okay, so what about a case of an unarticulated foot mutation if you have a pora inside of a camel. Now what do you do?
Again, it's genetic engineering.
So then it should not be metame, because there you have an eight-legged animal inside of a four-legged animal, and you said that's me mahalik al kapa. This is fantastic. So you've got an eight-legged fetus where there was a mutation in the foot, and it did articulate inside of a camel. The camel itself has only a single hoof. So it's a it's an eight leg inside of a four leg. What's that? Oh, that's it. We always refer to mutations as the animal they look like. That's what, that's what it means. So in that case, I should say that it would be metami. It would not be metami, because it's v'halkas from v'halkiyarba. Well, no. I mean, the Torah includes that in the extra word kol holeich. You know, it says holeich. That says v'chol holeich. V'chol holeich means even mutants. That they ought to be mahalik with a club foot, but they don't have it. It's the same thing. It's coming. Well, now, so that's marba porbi megomo. Yeah, but how about a case where you have a genetic mutation that's affected the mother as well, and you have a kolut bimei kluta letamet. In that case, where you have a kosher animal, which was kolut, which according to the Rabbanan is kosher, because we look at the species, not the individual, and its fetus is in the same situation. So you've got a case in which you've got a four-legged inside of a four-legged, but it's a kosher animal. So we should say it would be metamic, Malki Arba, Malki Arba. Okay, fine, but that was the Kavakomer Rapitza. Rapitza's Kavakomer proved that just as you could eat this animal with the shechita of the mother, so then kosher came, the mother's life will protect it from Tumas Nevelis. I mean, that still stands. Maskev lo Ravachtavoy Barami. Ravachtavoy Barami points out the whole drusha is no good. Because then a chazir, a normal chazir, which has 8 feet, inside of its mother, which has 8 feet, according to Yehu, should not be tame. Why? Because it's mahalke shmona v'mahalke shmona. Aha! Now you're in trouble. Because now, I mean, that is so inconsistent. I mean, that's to be outrageous. So, what are you going to do over there? You don't have any real
pork chops. What are you going to do?
Let me talk about the tumah over here, not the eating. El Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Therefore, comes on Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, and he rejects his own father's pasuk, but Yitzchak was the one who said v'chol aleich hakapav. And he's got another approach, and he says, "Take a look at this. V'nefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh, o b'nivlat chayatzmiyah." O benivlat beimatmeya. O benivlat sheretz tameh. Now I'm asking you, what is that supposed to mean? Benivlat chayatmeya. Benivlat beimatmeya. What the heck? Benivlat beimatmeya metama. The Torah lo metama. I don't understand. Is the Torah talking over here and somehow implying that only the nevela of the behemoth meya is metame? That's ridiculous. The whole parsha of nevela says not like that. It says the pharaohs before. The behema of any kind. So why now does it suddenly refer to a tamea species in which if it dies, it's metame? There's no connection between the two. Ella ezezeh, where does it make a difference? In a case of an uber, there only if the mother is tamea is the uber tamea. But indeed, in a case if the mother was tahera, the Uber wouldn't be Tamei. And this is exactly the point that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Here is the single place in the entire Torah where indeed the Torah seems to relate differently to the din of Tuma, of a min of Tuma, an animal, obviously, give us a Torah, we know there's a difference, but a min of a Tuma, of a mammal that is Tamei, than the mammal that's Tahor. Well, how could that be, since it clearly indicates otherwise every other place talks about it? Must be that the case is legabe the fetus. Because since the only marker for the tire of the fetus was the Kal Vachomer that Rav Chisda made, and you would have said it's the same din because the Torah was compared to the two, comes along the Torah to be Mechalek in its approach between Tamea and Torah, to tell you there is a place we have to know the difference. The difference would be in the case of a fetus that died. Do not apply Rav Chisda's Kal Vachomer to Tamea animals that have a fetus in them that's dead. They do not protect, as their machitza, so to speak, they do not protect the fetus from tumas nevelos. It's beautiful. See such a thing. I mean, in other words, you could have predicted it. The moment you saw that sheet in the Mishnah, you could have predicted there's got to be some indication in the Torah of this strange relationship between the tumah of the species and the tumah of nevelos. And here it is. All along, it's so disturbing that we just throw out these words. They mean completely different things. They have no bearing on each other. La halacha. Why is it there to do this? Comes along about Baravius. And he says, no, there is, of course, it's very important. There is this nafka mina. Now, wait a minute. So then that, isn't that pasuk enough to tell me the whole thing? If I learned this din out of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, well, what was the meaning of Rav Yitzchak's pasuk then? It seems Yafakeach Aben Mikayach Aaf over here. Why was Rav Yitzchak telling us that he had such a beautiful drasha? V'chol Olech Al Arba Amalek Arba Amalek Arba Amalek Arba Amalek Shmoyim. I mean, we're going to throw all that out. What's it for? What is it there for? No, because you see, Elad the Rav Yitzchak, if there wouldn't be for Rav Yitzchak's Maimer, Hava Amina Kule Likid Rebbe with us. We'll see later that Rebbe has a drasha on this pasuk, and I would have thought, but the entire pasuk of the Nivos Chayatzmeir, of Nivos Feimatzmeir, comes to tell me a whole different din. Therefore, I need to know Rav Yitzchak to be Megala. That this pasuk also comes to teach me these other halachas that Rav Nachman Yitzchak points out. Because remember, the klal is, when you have the repetition of a sugya, you feeling okay? When you have the repetition of a sugya, as long as one part of that sugya is coming from your chiddush, the rest of it could be explained by that chiddush, if you don't have anything particular to apply it to. And we will see how this pasuk allows us to continue to apply the pasuk, despite the fact that it does have application for Rebbe, as we'll see at the end of this drasha. Now, and this is where it starts, and where we get into this din of Rebbe. Tanya. On Rebbe Yonatan, Namti Lola Ben Azai. Now, we find the Gemara, the Tanayim use a lashon of Numi, which is interesting. It's similar to the word mitnamen, you'll notice, which is to be half asleep. In Aramaic, it's used as a word for speech. It's one of the type of speech, which is really the day of the Seder, because people do generally their mitnamen. And they're numi. The question is, they're so, the whole Gemara is discussed in mitnamen. So the Shaila is, I believe, I haven't seen this anywhere, but I believe very strongly, based on an overall sense of how the word is used, that namti is meant to describe an interaction in which no one wants to admit that they are at each other's throat. In other words, normally milchamta shel Torah is a battle, maskiv, it's all right, it's attacks. There's different levels of the attacks. So you can sometimes have divor, which is kasha, amira. You can have actual hatkafot, and so on. Here, namti is where you don't want to give your opponent the feeling that something important is going on, but you want to disarm him anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening over here. It's sort of a laconic speech in which you shouldn't think that I'm not taking it too seriously, and so on.
No.
There's no connection between it. So anyway, what happens like this, Rabbi Yonatan? So I sort of mentioned to Ben Azai,
You see, what was happening over here, you'll recall that Ben-Azai always put himself above everybody else, because all the Chachmei Dor were like Klipas Hashum, you know, Ben-Azai. And he would say, all right, I'm ready to take on anybody. You know, in the future generations, if you wanted to talk about being ready to take on the world, you say, Harini ki ben azai b'shuke tferia. Go ahead, I dare you. Give me a question. So when you start, we start with ben azai, you certainly don't want to attack. Okay? But Rabbi Yonatan was a Talmud of Rabbi Yishmael. Now, ben azai didn't have any contact with Rabbi Yishmael, didn't think very much of him, didn't think very much of anybody that he hadn't learned. So Rabbi Yonatan didn't want to come right out on the attacks. He said, I sort of mentioned to ben azai, by the way, and this put him, of course, off guard. He said, you know, I was looking at the Torah, and it seems to me that Lamanu Nivlad Be'imato Rashi Matana, it does say the Farish in the Torah that the Nevela of a Behima Tahira is Matana. It also, it says the Farish in the Torah, that a Nivlat Behima Tmeya is Matana. That we learned out from the pasuk we had before, v'chiyamut bina beima, beima tmeya, asher yilachem lo achla, beima tohara. You know, for that matter, we also learned that a nivlat chayat tmeya is mitama, that we just learned from, b'chol nivlat chayat tmeya, we just learned that from the pasuk that we brought here. But isn't it strange that the Torah never talks about the nevela of a chayat tahara? Nivlat chayat tahara lo labata. Nowhere does it say that a tohar chaya, let's say it's tzvi, is a tzvi metame when it dies. Minai was wondering, where exactly does it say that? And so he sort of says to me, well, you know, and it says, kol holecha kapa b'chol ha-chaya holechet, I mean, any chaya, it says over there, anything that's walking on its, you know, kapayim, in a chaya that's olechet al arba, and so you have kol olecha kapav, includes also the chaya tahara. Ooh, I said to him, well, I don't know about that. I mean, it doesn't say bichol chaya, it says bichol chaya. Bichol chaya, we learned before, means a fetus inside of a chaya, but it's all tummy. The fetus is mahalach kapayim inside of a chaya. I don't know if that's so good. Now, he's starting to get nervous at this point, so Ben-Azai, and he realizes that he's under attack. So he says, so I suppose Yishmael has something to say about this. You know, in other words, I knew we were getting to this. So, Umay Yishmael, Omer B'davar Hazeh? So what does good old Yishmael say about this, which is his Rebbe, Rebbe Yishmael? And Rebbe Yonatan said, well, he sort of says like this, v'chiyamut mina beima zu beima tmeya asher hi lachem la'ochla zu beima tohara. And believe it or not, my Rebbe said that that's all you need. Why? Why? Because lamadnu chaya b'chlal beima, and you know perfectly well what I'm referring to, Ben-Azai, don't you? We'll talk about what he's referring to. But we do have rayas that the word chaya includes behema, and the word behema includes chaya. Once that's true, now we know that a chaya tahira is included a behema tahira and in all of its dinim, and a chaya tameya is included a behema tameya in all of its dinim, and we're going to go through why we need this drug. What dinim are we referring to in all of its dinim? Because we're going to have to explain four separate issues over here, really. And vice versa. What are all of these things about? We'll talk about in a moment. But surely, Ben-Azai, this is a sort of elegant solution, wouldn't you think? That Bechlal Chayatmea, Be'imatara, Bechlal Chayatara. Ubaloshin Hazea Marlin, he stopped being numpty and he said, damn. Chaval al Ben-Azai Shalosh Yemesis, Rebbe Yishmael. All of a sudden Yishmael becomes Rebbe Yishmael. What a shame that I missed out on learning from Rebbe Yishmael. Never be able to make it up. That's ingenious, elegant, simple. That's what I should have known in the first place. Now that's a man who's ready to admit defeat.
Benaz, I said, shame that I should go through my life. That's interesting. Rashi's lashon is chaval. Rashi was chaval means chavalal olam. It's a horrible thing for the world that talmid vatik, this old student, completely changes it around. Like now I'm the perennial student. What's ready to learn? But I should have missed out on the courses by Shmuel. What do I
do? I died very young.
So this is a. This is Azak Mavet Ahavan. So this is a complete reversal of the Namti law. I think there's another place where the distinction of the Namti, say over the story in this way, it's so beautiful because it reaches this climax, which everybody's sort of talking like don't make much difference, then suddenly it's a blast. Okay, I think we can keep what it's Nogea, because we're already at our time limit. And we finished our daf, and we're right in the middle to discuss what each one of these drushes are. That we'll discuss Mitzvah Shabbos. This is the last Mitzvah Shabbos on the old clock, apparently. So we could, just for good old time's sake, do it at 8:15, just to show that we made it through. Or, that's pretty good.
Well, I'm ready to tell on the.
You're ready to go a little later. A little later. And since I'm out of the role after Shabbos, I wouldn't mind going a little bit later myself, if it would be okay with you gentlemen. So maybe we can make it. So are you going to be in the role after Shabbos? So could we go till even 8:45? Or is it too much? Too much? That would be good. Oh, okay. Okay, great.
That you can stay awake till then?
Let it be. 8:45 minutes. You're coming back from out of the robot.
Yeah.
Okay. Great, okay. So 8:45, Bezrat Hashem, on Motzei Shabbos Teder. Oh, I'd like to... Do we have a siyum that we didn't make yet? Because we were
exhausted.
Did we do Baba
Basha?
You're right. But I think I used Baba Basha for my father's
lesson. Right, yes.
Right, so that's what I was saving it for. But I do not think that we did Zvokin. We did Menachos. I do not think that we ever did Zvachim.
What's his name? Did we did the menorah of Zvachim, I thought.
Menorah?
Then we had a table.
Oh, in the sukkah. Yes, we saved it in the sukkah.
Ah, it was in the sukkah. Right, that's right. So how about Yisro? Do you have any sukkah hanging on there? That you'd like to be in the site? Good, that's great. Great, that'll keep you busy over Shabbos. there's so many mesectas that we didn't. I thought we weren't Messiah. How about Bob Messiah? Did we ever do our theme of Bob Messiah? I think we did. Actually.
There was a statute of limitations.
Well put. No, no, we'd love to hear your tainus.
The question is, we separated out, so there's like, you know, in a way, like,
so you'll do two. One for the Hazara, one for this. Why not? So you'll do tainus. Okay, very good. That's excellent.
And what are the timings? Let's see what's going to be. So we'll
know to make the timing now? So we'll do it on Sunday, no? We'll have to go in there and get the times. We're probably okay. I think that feel is still... Is what?
First day Yom-tif.
First day Yom-tif.
What are you doing about Yom-tif?
Don't we do it at night?
Tonight?
Yes, I believe we do it Mitzvah Yom-tif, I guess.
After
what time is that? Is Achilas Chametz?
Achilas Chametz is 9:04.
That early.
And so Shvat Chametz is 10:22.
9:04. My goodness gracious! Last year we had so much time after we had to start that earlier.
Yeah.
All right. So I think significantly earlier. I mean, it's certainly 7:45. No. I mean, we won't have time to go back home and.
Monday, right?
Monday, would that be okay?
Quarter to eight,
Monday.
Monday.
I don't like that.
We might go a little bit over Sunday.
All right, that's an idea. Yeah, we can do a little bit more on Sunday and have less. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's
no, we'll